So I'd like to begin today by showing you a verse from Psalm 33:22, and it goes like this. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. And so I want to talk a little bit today about hope. And specifically, I want to talk about the tension that all of us have faced or will face as it relates to hope. And that's the tension of trying to maintain hope in what seems to be times of hopelessness. It seems like the world is falling apart. And so how do we maintain hope in a world that seems to be falling apart? It could be national. It could just be within your own life. It could not have anything to do with COVID-19 or for social distancing. For instance, maybe you went to an altar with death do us part, but he or she decided that it wouldn't be until death. It would just be until somebody else came along. Maybe your marriage has come crashing down and you felt that sense of hopelessness. You understand what it means to maintain hope and love in maybe people or relationships, even though the past has not worked out. Or maybe at work, where you've gone the second mile and done what you're supposed to do, and then somebody else didn't come through for you. And your hope in that job or that advancement or that move, whatever it may be, that it fell through. And maybe you felt a sense of despair. Why even try? Maybe you know what it means to manage the tension I'm talking about how to maintain hope in a situation that seems hopeless. Maybe you had aspirations for your son or your daughter, and they hooked up with the wrong group of friends, and now they're anything other than what you hoped for. And you can't go back, and you can't give them their teenage years back again. And you look back and you look at that and you think it seems hopeless. And what you're doing is you're maintaining that tension. And so the question is, how do we maintain hope in a situation that seems hopeless? Maybe you find yourself saying, why try? Why go on? Why study? Why apply myself? Why even try? If you've even said out loud or even in your heart, what's the point? What's the point in loving people when they treat you that way? What's the point in committing to people when their commitment to you doesn't mean anything? What's the hope in committing to a company when they're not committed to you? If you've ever found yourself saying, what's the point and what's the use, then you have bumped into the inevitable question that everybody has asked at some point, which is, why maintain hope in situations that seem to be hopeless? And that's why I want to talk a little bit about hope today. And so as we go into this message today, I just want to give you a definition of hope. And essentially, the definition of hope is a person or a thing in which your expectations are centered. You see, these are the things that you're leaning into, the things that as you look into the future, your hope is in that particular thing, that relationship, that group of relationships, in that company, your profession, your ability, that your hope, that you have centered your expectations on something or someone. See, hope is a little bit like a ladder that we lean against a wall. And the interesting thing is that none of us remember doing this, right? None of us were ever conscious of this process, but when you were born, you automatically leaned the hope of your ladder onto your parents or onto your guardians, onto your mom maybe. And your hope and your future, it had everything to do with their ability to care for you. But as we begin to get older, we start to move our ladder and we move it from somebody else, maybe to ourselves, our own ability to take care of ourselves, to connect, to get a scholarship, to get a job, to our ability to attract attention and maybe marry somebody who had promise. But see, all of us from time to time, different times in our lives, we make a decision to lean our ladder into hope of something that we feel like would help us in our look to the future. Now, we're rarely aware of this, but for instance, like when you sat down to watch today and to listen today, even as you did that, you have placed your hope in something. Your ladder is leaning against a wall somewhere. But because most of the time we're unaware of it, we go through life usually unaware of what we're hoping in. And a lot of times the only time we think about hope is when we begin to feel hopelessness. A sense of hopelessness or despair might be a good word. And so it's that feeling that the thing that I've leaned my ladder against is not coming through for me. It's not actually meeting my expectations, that this isn't going to happen for me. Maybe we weren't going to have children. We're not going to have children when we thought we were. I'm going to be 30 and I'm still single. You know, that I'm not going to be able to retire whenever I thought I was going to. I'm not going to make the team. Nobody's calling. Nobody's answered the phone. It's only when the thing that we have leaned our ladder against doesn't come through, that's when we begin to experience and think about the subject of hope. Otherwise, we just go day by day by day, our ladder leaning against something, and usually we're unaware of it. It's only when we kind of bump up against this tension of, well, how do I remain hopeful? How do I go on? How do I keep trying? And why do I keep investing? What's the use? It's only then that we realize that maybe we've leaned our ladder against something that's not as secure as what we thought it was. See, all of us today, all of you, myself, we all have a ladder of hope. And it's leaning against something. But the question is, how do we maintain hope in a world that, if you haven't discovered yet, you'll eventually discover it, that this world is actually hopelessly broken, the world that we live in. Now, when you open the Bible, the New Testament to the Old Testament, we're always instructed to place our hope in God, to lean our ladder against God who has invited us to call him Father, to lean our ladder of hope against and into our relationship with him. That verse that we talked about at the beginning was that your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope. That is, that we move our ladder and we lean our ladder against him. And so Paul, who wrote a lot of the New Testament, he wrote a letter to a young guy named Timothy. And he told him, he said, Timothy, tell those rich people to follow him. Tell them to not put their hope in riches because they are so uncertain, which we in our current economy right now, we really understand that. And so he says to Timothy, tell them, don't put your hope in money, which is so uncertain. But what he says is move your ladder from the wall of if I save enough, if I work hard enough, if I jump high enough, if I perform, everything's going to work out for me. Paul says tell even the successful people, be careful. Don't lean your ladder there. It's not that you shouldn't be successful, but move your ladder to me, to God. And of course, you would expect a preacher to say that or the Bible to say that. But if you've been a Christian for a long time, or maybe you're even new to this, all of us, especially in the United States of America, we have a really hard time with the idea of putting all of our hope in God. And the reason is because we have been the best in the world at creating walls that actually hold up pretty good. Because we believe and we've been told and we understand that if we have the right education, this ladder is going to hold. If we're good looking enough, it's going to hold. If we have the right surgery and the right connections and we marry well and we save well and if we're disciplined and stay away from drugs, that all of the things and all the billboard, everything that the billboards tell us, all the stuff, if you do all that right and if you're really careful and if you're really slick and connected and if you do all that stuff right, then there are things in this world that you can lean your ladder against that's going to hold. And so then we do everything in our power to put our hope into things that we feel like we can control and things that we manufacture. And we have been told that we can put our hopes in these things and that our ladder of hope will hold. Now, as a Christian, we even ask God sometimes, please don't let our ladder fall. Please let this company go public in the name of Jesus. Give me wisdom as I spin the dial and invest and determine where to invest my money. God, please let her call me back. Please, you know, God, I want you to help me come through for me. And so years from now, I want to be able to lean on this thing that I've put my ladder up against. I want it to be secure. And so God says through scripture and maybe even people who are around you that have lived life long enough to know, I don't care how smart you are, connected you are, who you know, at some point in life, you and I, we're all going to realize that we live in a world that is hopelessly insecure, hopelessly uncertain. and we can try and we can be careful and invest well and in a great education, and we can speak the word of God about certain walls, but at some point we realize that none of those walls are secure in and of themselves without Him. And so God says to you and me, hey, listen, you need to do all this stuff, but don't put your hope in it. Don't lean your ladder against it. And so today, I want to help you understand, you know, well, I thought God wanted me to be successful. I thought God wanted me to have all these things. God does want the best for you. He just doesn't want you to lean your ladder up against success as opposed to up against Him. Paul wrote it this way in Romans chapter 8. He explains where our hope should be. And to be honest, it's not going to be any surprise. But for our talk today, Paul is going to explain the futility that any of us have in leaning our ladder against our ability to control or to predict the future, to lean our ladder against anything that has anything to do with the temporary nature of the world that you live in, that I live in. So here's what we're going to do. Romans 8:20. I'm going to first of all tell you what it means, and then we'll read it. In verse 20, here's what it means. He says, here's the deal. He goes back and he draws on an event in the book of Genesis that is referred to as the fall of man. It's a story about when sin entered the world. Now, depending on where you're at, you may not believe in sin, but you do believe that bad things happen in the world. So we agree on that. But when we think about sin, we usually think about an incident, right? It's, you know, if you're a pastor like me, people will ask you, you know, is this a sin or is that a sin? And what they're actually asking is it okay if I do that? Because we think of sin as something that we do, and it's an incident. But the Bible views sin differently. It views it as a disease that's toxic, contagious, and fatal. Kind of interesting, right? The Bible says that when sin entered the world, it entered as a fatal disease that affected everything. It affected relationships between people as well as between man and God. It affected everything, animals, weather, everything. Everything is affected by sin, and it is a disease that infiltrated creation. And then Paul also talks about the reason why everything in the world dies is because sin has polluted and corrupted everything. That's the basis for Paul's argument, that this is always a bad decision to put your hope into things of this world because death and sickness has infiltrated this world. Now, let's read verse 20. It says that the creation was subjected to frustration. So whenever you're frustrated, it's because of sin. The reason why you're experiencing, why won't my kids, why won't my mom, why won't my boss, why doesn't everybody see the world the way I do? I'm so frustrated. Paul says, welcome to the world. He says that creation was subjected to frustration through sin, that sin is going to run its course within the world. And then in verse 21, it says, in the hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay. What that means is that everything in this world is decaying. And Paul says, listen, we live in a world that is in bondage. The world we live, we're not in bondage, those of us that are Christians, but the world is in bondage to decay. And then verse 22, he goes on and he says this, that this tension creates in us a longing for something better than that world. It creates in us the thought that there's got to be more. There's got to be victory. There's got to be a desire to look beyond this world and ask, is there a world where relationships actually stay good, that they don't decay? Is there a world where people can get along? And it forces us to look outside of the world that we live in. And then it says in verse 24, with this hope, he's talking to Christians, we were saved. That when we became a Christian, if you're a Christian, you became linked to a bigger, better story with a much better ending. And not only in the life to come, but in this life as well. As long as we lean our ladder against God. Then in verse 25, he says this. He says, but if we hope for, I mean, God, there's got to be something more. There's got to be something better than sin, sorrow, and death in this world that I live in. He says, but if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it. And this word, I'm sorry, but it says we wait for it patiently. We do not give up. We don't give up hope. But our hope is not in this world. Our hope cannot be in this life. Because eventually, that hope is always, in some way, shape, or form, is going to be disappointing to you. Because we live in a world that has a bondage to sin, and it's in decay and full of frustration. And so he speaks to us as Christians, and he says that there is hope, even though you live in this world. You have something to look forward to. You have some power over the situations that you live in because of the Word of God. But God understands your frustration. He understands the disappointment that you have with the world that you're in. He understands that sometimes our ladders fall every now and then. And that sense of in the past where you were hurt or frustrated, it says that God so understands that, that His Spirit prays for you, and it prays for me with words that cannot even be uttered. They're with groanings. And then in verse 31, he says, so what do we say then in response to this? Now watch this. He says, what do we say about this? If God is for us, then who can be against us? And then in verse 32, so what do you mean God is for us? It says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, give us all things that pertain to life and godliness in this world? In the midst of all this frustration and all this decay, that God will give us all things. That's where hope does not disappoint, is in the source of the things, not the things themselves. Now, go down to verse 38, and Paul ends big here. He says, for I am convinced. Now, this is Paul, who has been stoned to death almost. He's been left for dead. He's been shipwrecked. He's gotten the worst that the world has to offer. But he says this. He says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels or demons, present or future, that any powers, height or depth or anything else, which you can fill in the blank there. I mean, divorce, abandonment, COVID, isolation, job loss, when am I going to retire? Nothing else in all creation will be able to separate us from the source, the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. What he's saying is, look, you want to put your hope in something secure? You want to put your hope in something that won't disappoint? Then you want to put your hope into something that you can go to every single time. That means you have to move your ladder from the things of the world and to the source of all the things. You've got to move your ladder and re-lean it against your Heavenly Father. Because only there will you find enduring hope, life. Now, what does that mean in the meantime? That means that, yes, you do your best, you speak the word, you live out kingdom values in the world where sometimes there's not a lot of happy ever afters, happy endings. It means that you love people like crazy even when they don't love back. You don't lose hope. It means you serve like crazy, but when nobody serves you back, you don't lose hope because your hope wasn't there to begin with. You forgive people, but when people don't forgive you back, you don't care because you didn't put your hope in that. You speak the word, yes. You safe, yes. You pursue progress, absolutely. You do all of that, but do you place your hope in your hard work, in the benefits of your ambition, in your own discipline, in your own education, and all of those things? He says, no. Just like Jesus, just like Paul, you live life just like your Heavenly Father. And you love people with no strings attached, and you give everything that you've got. But at the end of the day, despite all of that, and along with all that, our hope is in our Heavenly Father. That's where we have leaned our ladder. That's where we need to lean our ladder, no matter what comes through your door, no matter what happens, no matter what happens at night. You go to bed and you say, thank God for this wonderful day. I didn't have any wrinkles. I didn't have any issues. But regardless of that, my hope is still in you, not that stuff. Or you go to bed at the end of the day and you say, this has been a terrible day. And I'm still as jobless as I was yesterday. And I've still got all these issues that I woke up with this morning. But my hope is in you. I have placed my hope in your love for me. You see, when we loosen our grip around our own plans and our own ambitions, then those things loosen their grip around our hearts. And when they loosen their grip around our hearts, we are able to move our ladder to God. That's how you do it. Because when I loosen my hands around all the things that I place my hope in, only then am I able to transfer my hope to the only person, the only thing that sustains my hope through good as well as difficult times. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we move our ladder and place our hope and trust in Him. So here's the thing. Whatever it is that you have placed your hope in, whatever you have placed your hope in will determine whether you are able to remain hopeful in living in a world that's broken, that a lot of times is hopeless. And for those of us that know Jesus personally, and we have a call and a mandate, this is a call and a mandate to us, and it's full of hope and light and wonder. But for those of us that don't know Him yet, it becomes an amazing and a rewarding invitation.